Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, October the 25th. President Bush is headed to California today to see what the wildfires have done in the state. He'll get an aerial tour of the charred hillsides and will meet with federal and state relief officials. Winds have eased in Southern California, allowing fire crews a chance to fight back against some of the fires. As of last night, firefighters had fully contained 3 major fires in Los Angeles, and or the Los Angeles County area, that is, and largely contained many of the fires north of San Diego. Some fires, including one in San Bernardino County, continue to rage out of control. This week's fires have destroyed about 1,500 homes, and state emergency officials say 28,000 homes are still at risk. President Bush earlier this week said he wants the people of Southern California to hear a message loud and clear from Washington. He said Americans all across this land deeply care about them. We are concerned about their safety. We are concerned about their property. Bush declared a federal emergency on Tuesday for 7 California counties, which triggers short-term federal help. Yesterday, responding to a request from Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, Bush went one step further and issued a broad major disaster declaration, which sets in motion long-term federal recovery programs. We will talk about the government's response to the California wildfires this hour, and we will welcome your assessment and your questions. Do you believe our federal government has learned its lesson from the botched response to Hurricane Katrina? Is it doing a better job dealing with the crisis in California? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And please include your first name and community with your email. Our guest is Jack Harold. He is director of the Institute for Crisis, Disaster, and Risk Management at George Washington University. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So is the president playing this one by the book so far, the book of a proper federal disaster response, that is?
Well, there's certainly playing it by the book of knowing that disasters are very public and very political occurrences this time, something that seemed to escape their attention during Katrina, and taking credit for what they're doing well, and taking credit for the inferences that they've improved greatly since Katrina.
Yeah, we heard the head of FEMA saying this is a new FEMA. Do you think it is?
Partially. There's been a lot of changes since Katrina. I mean, leading up to Katrina, I think the merger of FEMA into the Department of Homeland Security really undercut their role as the nation's response and recovery agency for natural disasters, and that the focus justifiably in Homeland Security was on terrorism, and natural disasters were viewed as the old problem which we had solved. And obviously Katrina pointed out very, very clearly to all of us that was not true, and many changes have been made, but this is still a very, very different event, and I don't think that there's a very true comparison between what's happening in California. As great as the scale, as you've just reported, of events is, it's in many aspects not a test as Katrina was.
Yeah, why do you say that?
Well, the first aspect is that the basic role of the federal government is to assist the states, and in this case, the fighting the fire is a state responsibility, mutual aid from other states, some federal aid in fighting the fire. The federal role is to deal with the aftermath and deal with the victims of the fire. The situation is devastating as the loss of homes has been. The area is not devastated. The infrastructure is still working. The power systems are up in most areas. There is water. Relief forces can go in and check themselves into a hotel and set up their offices in an office building and do business. In Hurricane Katrina, thousands of square miles were basically inaccessible. Mm-hmm. And everybody that was in that area was a victim. Everybody that's in the area of Southern California, obviously, is not a victim.
Mm-hmm. Is FEMA on the ground right now in Southern California doing things?
Yes. They've established the federal government. FEMA is the coordinator of the federal government, so it isn't just FEMA. They've got a joint field office set up in Pasadena, California. They've got a federal coordinating officer set up, and they're operating. The full organization of the federal government is operating. But again, this is the issue is assisting the state, and as the state of California, for a lot of obvious reasons, not just wildfires, but earthquakes and others, is probably the most sophisticated and most well-resourced emergency management agency in both at the state and local level in the country.
We are talking with Jack Harrell, Director of the Institute for Crisis, Disaster, and Risk Management at George Washington University, about the response, government response so far, both state and federal, in dealing with the California wildfires. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. How do you sense it is going? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 17 minutes past 7 o'clock. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6. After 5, Ben will talk with his guest about a new report, a new study on school choice, the school choice program in Milwaukee. That's coming up after 5. We're talking about the California wildfires and the crisis disaster in that area. President Bush is heading to California today to see what the fires have done to the state. He will get an aerial tour of the charred hillsides. He will also be meeting with federal and state relief officials. President Bush says he wants Southern Californians to know America cares. But it says here he's also concerned about being seen on the fire's front lines. Bush is still smarting from the Hurricane Katrina debacle and is determined that that will not be repeated. So how is the government response to these wildfires so far as you're concerned? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Has the federal government, has FEMA learned lessons from Katrina? Jack Harrell, our guest, director of the Institute for Crisis, Disaster, and Risk Management at George Washington University. And our first caller is Alice in Menominee. Hi, Alice. You're on the air.
Good morning. I think the first question that you need... Oh, just a second. I'll get on a different phone.
Yeah, that's not going to work when you're on the air, Alice.
Here, okay. There are two questions. One is, what is the cost to the public for the president to travel to California? They have to close airports. How much does it cost for the fighters that have to go along with this plane? What is the fuel cost? What is the cost? And then we can determine from that what the value is to him going to California. And the second point is that this is definitely a class distinction, the difference between Katrina going to see people dying and the California wildfires. I would like to know whether any one of those people who have lost their homes have been in poverty or do not have another place to go and live. It's a class distinction. That's why he's going to California. It's to show off and to continue to get support from a partisan standpoint.
Well, people are thinking about these issues, Professor Harrell. But is it mandatory, a mandatory thing for presidents to visit a disaster site?
Oh, no. It's become part of the political art, and certainly when FEMA had its heights under Director James Lee Witt in the Clinton administration, both James Lee and President Clinton were, for example, out of the Northridge earthquake and others, realizing the symbolic value of both the FEMA director leadership and and the president. Of course, it's always easier to get out in front of something that's working rather than something that's not. The cost, I don't know the cost, but the cost is significant in any presidential movement. We live in Washington, and we watch people move around town and watch the security and have an idea of what it is. And it's not an insignificant thing to move the president into an area and provide the security, and there is a cost.
Yeah,
but I think out of the Katrina lesson, two points were clear to the federal government. One, that the federal government failed, and the other was that the public perception was that the federal government failed. And I think this is part of solving the second problem, is working on the perception aspect. But leading into the caller's very excellent second question, this may backfire because there clearly is an obvious difference between the population. The population in New Orleans was 65% minority, 25% below the poverty line, still has not recovered. I would, even starting today, I will guess that the Malibu Hills will recover long before Ward 9 will. And the issue is people have individual resources. They have insurance. They have mm-hmm. individual savings, and that is not true in the other, not true in many areas in southeastern Louisiana, not just in New Orleans. So will it be perceived as a race and class issue? I think it will be by some people, and particularly the statements that we care about the people of Southern California. I'm not sure that politically that won't backfire because the inference can be clearly made, well, why didn't you care for the people in southeastern Louisiana? So it's a move of political leadership also that I think I would expect. I think all of us are watching this, knew that the president and FEMA director would be in the front lines for the next disaster.
Yeah, he would really be darned if he does and darned if he doesn't, though. I mean, if he didn't show up, there would be, he didn't, learn his lesson.
Well, I think he could publicly make the statements from Washington and send the FEMA director or Secretary Chertoff also, which would be, as the caller indicates, a considerably less cost of a movement.
Yeah, we saw or heard from the Democratic Lieutenant Governor of California yesterday kind of grumping about President Bush's visit, saying, we'll be polite to him, but I'd rather he brought our troops home from Iraq so they could help fight this fire.
There certainly is that element. The National Guard in all states is, in yours as well as ours, a major part of the governor's arsenal for dealing with any emergency, natural disaster, civil emergency, or anything else. Now, they're not trained firefighters, but in California they can main fire lines and do logistics and that sort of thing, and I'm sure they're just as depleted as the rest of the country is.
Thanks to Alice for the call. Kathy in Milwaukee is next. Hi, Kathy.
I was just going to comment that the difference economically and racially is so dramatic that it's interesting that the president cares for the wealthy and just kind of forgets about the poor people. Well, he's a concerned, but he's certainly not going to throw any real leadership and real money into helping them.
Well, one problem is a lot easier to deal with than the other. I mean, it's basically you can go out and show empathy, but most of the people you're seeing, we're looking at most of the things we're seeing on the television are coming from the fires around L.A., Malibu Hills and others, and that's where the media is in California. The real issue is in San Diego County, where 70% of the fires are, and not all of the population in San Diego is on the same plane as the northern suburbs of L.A. There are, it's a very diverse county, and a lot of Hispanic laborers, obviously, a lot of military families in the San Diego area, and there's going to be some economic hit that's not covered there. And San Diego as a city they've had budget problems for the last decade, political and budget problems, and their fire department is not as well equipped as some of the counties in the northern part of California. So as the story unfolds, you'll be reading more indication of significant problems in San Diego. But in general, there is no comparison between the population and the vulnerable population that Katrina struck. I think it was really not comprehended for a very long period of time how in Washington how vulnerable that population was and remains to today.
Thank you, Kathy. Bill in Park Falls is with us now. Good morning.
Good morning. To the point of the effectiveness of FEMA these days, I speak as a volunteer for a national relief agency and been to disasters throughout the country pre and post Katrina. And I would have to say that since Katrina, they have improved dramatically in terms of the initial response. The problem, it seems to me, that needs some assistance or direction at the moment is the coordination of volunteer agencies after the fact. Oftentimes there are many, many voluntary organizations that flood into an area, and the coordination of their efforts in recovery is a piece, I think, that needs to be addressed along the way. Now, I understand that the priority, of course, is with response, but the recovery is probably more lengthy in many cases, as we're seeing in Katrina, and requires, I think, some attention and some further coordination. And I'm wondering if the if your guest has any experience with that part of the relief organization.
Mm-hmm. Jack Harold?
Yes, I couldn't agree with the caller more. I mean, he's right on the mark in all aspects, just going right down. FEMA has improved and has grown bigger. I think one of the issues that people don't realize is how small FEMA was. When I was interviewed during Katrina, I'd always ask the interviewer who was ready to beat up on FEMA, how many people do you think are working for FEMA today? The answer was somewhere over 1,800, and most people thought 10 to 20,000. So it's a coordinating agency, not a response agency. It is moving, as the caller has indicated, to become a response agency. They brought Admiral Harvey Johnson in from the Coast Guard as the deputy director. They're really establishing it's remarkable. I've been in contact with them on their awareness of what's going on in this disaster compared to their lack of awareness of what was going on in Katrina is stark. So they've improved that part in many parts. But the issue that your caller identified, I think, is absolutely critical. In all disasters, the first responders are the victims themselves, self-organizing. We know this from all the research that's been done. And then largely volunteer groups come in. If you look by the time you get into the late response and early recovery phase, you can have, as you did in Katrina, several hundred thousand people assisting on the ground. And most of that is coming from volunteers. And we are planning very Washington-centric plans because the objective is to make the federal government look as good and as effective and that the federal government cares for you. I don't think the message should be that the federal government cares for people. I think the message should be that the country cares for its own. And that comes largely from the volunteer groups. And I couldn't agree with your caller more.
Thanks very much, Bill, for the call. We are talking with Jack Harold, director of the Institute for Crisis, Disaster, and Risk Management at George Washington University, talking about the response and recovery going on in California with the wildfire crisis happening. President Bush on his way to Southern California today to get a firsthand look at the damage and to talk with federal and state relief people. So has our federal government learned lessons from Katrina? Will the response to this disaster in California be different? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Thursday, October the 25th. President Bush is on his way later today to Southern California to get a firsthand look at the fire devastation there. Some progress is being made on the front lines in the battle against the Southern California wildfires, thanks to calmer winds and lower temperatures. Three major fires in Los Angeles County were contained as of last night. Several smaller fires north of San Diego are largely contained, but six large fires in San Diego County are still almost unchecked. They threaten more than 8,500 homes. Property damage in San Diego County totals over $1 billion. At least 1,500 homes across Southern California have been destroyed. Meanwhile, FBI teams are aiding local authorities trying to determine whether any of the large fires were intentionally set. A man has been booked for investigation of arson for allegedly starting a fire in the San Bernardino Mountains. We are talking about the wildfires, the disaster. President Bush has declared the area a major disaster area. And we're looking at the response to these fires across Southern California. Did the state government do its job? Is the federal government doing a better job than it was certainly since Katrina? We are looking at the response to the crisis in California, welcoming your questions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Jack Harrell, director of the Institute for Crisis, Disaster, and Risk Management at George Washington University. And Bob in Madison is our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I wonder if there were any controlled burns done anywhere at all, because they know, I mean, they had such lush growth during the rains and then the drought, and they know the winds are coming. Were there any burns done to prevent fire in any areas?
I'm not sure if you know that, Jack.
I don't. I suspect not. The major underlying issue that the caller is getting at is that we have a lot of people living in highly vulnerable areas. That's the similarity to New Orleans. Folks in New Orleans living below sea level, and people in California are living in hills, allowing brush and trees to grow up the side of their houses, and wildfires are a common natural hazard in that area. So the event itself is not unexpected, the ability to respond to it. And we do. Nationwide, we have people living in very hazardous areas all over the country, and in many, many cases, they don't know the hazard or appreciate the hazard that they're exposed to.
Yeah, and lots of people I know in that San Diego County area had the option of going to a football stadium, right, for evacuation?
That's the meeting point. It's not the similarity with the Houston Astrodome. People are coming in and out of that. There's a lot of services. That's a central place where services are being provided, and it appears to be that it was in their plans, and it seems to be working quite well.
Yeah. Brent in Germantown is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'd just like to point out one difference is the, which the media sometimes forgets about Katrina, is how totally incompetent the city and the state were in evacuating the people. They had an evacuation plan, they simply didn't follow it, and that's why all those vulnerable people were left in New Orleans, whereas in San Diego, the state and local officials did the evacuation well. And I'll take my answer offline. Thank you.
Jack Harrell?
Well, this is the largest evacuation, I think, in U.S. peacetime history, and it has gone exceptionally well. And it's triggered by technology, and most of the counties in California have reverse 911 and other ways to notify people, and the notifications went well, and people went out. The other difference is you're dealing with a population. Everyone in California has a car. In New Orleans, that was not the case, and there were not sufficient plans. There actually, people were planning, but there were no operational plans to get people out of the city. Although we've seen surveys that the people that stayed in New Orleans, there was the people that wouldn't go and the people that couldn't go, and they tended to be socioeconomically divided. The people who couldn't go didn't have cars, didn't know where to go, didn't have the information, didn't have the means to leave. There was still a significant population that were going to ride it out and didn't believe it would affect them. That is not the case. I think the other thing about a wildfire, it's a pretty visible hazard. When people get the reverse 911 call and look out the window and see the fire and a 50-mile-an-hour wind, it doesn't take a lot of consideration to get the hell out of there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brent. Kyle in Lake Geneva, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I would just like to take a moment and actually set aside any criticism or praise of the federal government's response, and just recognize and commend other states' responses, such as Arizona sending some 150 firefighters to help out. And I think it's just great to see states relying on our fellow states like this And that relationship, I think, is very important. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much.
All right. Jack Harold?
I'd like to comment that your callers are very well informed. The two things that actually will make something go well is the ability to utilize effectively volunteers, which your earlier caller had, and the growing movement of mutual aid among states with the Emergency Assistance Compact, so that particularly for wildfires, it's a cascading response. You start with the local assets and then county and then state and resources coming in from other states. And the federal government's role is just to supplement where needed, where they can't get the mutual aid from local resources. It's, again, wildfires is a well-known hazard. The management system for fighting wildfires, the incident command system, is now the standard for the country in the National Incident Management System. But the local states have responded extremely well, as California did when there were fires in Arizona a couple of years ago. And they know how to do that. And I would agree totally with your caller that this is probably the most effective line of defense we have, is building relationships regionally between states, yeah, between counties within states.
I saw some news coverage of one fire official grumping that much more could have been done had there been more air support or more airplanes fighting the fires. And then Governor Schwarzenegger and some other fire officials disputing that, saying that wasn't a problem. Whose job is that?
Whose job is it to be grumpy?
No, to make sure there are enough planes in the air.
It's the local incident commander is requesting them, and that's the fire chief that's in charge. Now, part of what you're hearing is the relative lack of airborne resources in Southern California, in San Diego County region, compared with Los Angeles and above. And again, that's a resource problem of San Diego City and county not having some of the heavy equipment that other counties had. So they've had the get these resources in by mutual aid from other counties, from the rest of the state, and as your previous caller said, from other states. And those resources have come in, but there's a transit time. What you have lost is the initial response that could have been done had you had a helicopter that could dump fire retardant right on the scene as the fire starting rather than 6 hours later. It's a big difference to give the fire a 6 hour start. So in that case, they're both right. If you look at the amount of resources in the state and moving, there's a lot of resources in the state of California, and they were moved very effectively and very fast. But in certain areas in California, notably San Diego County, there probably weren't enough initial resources, and that'll all be hashed out, I'm sure, in the press and in the after action reports after the event.
We're talking with Jack Harold, director of the Institute for Crisis, Disaster, and Risk Management at George Washington University, taking a look at how the federal government is responding to the California wildfires and how the state government response has been so far as well. Have we learned lessons from Katrina? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 14 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8, I'll talk with the author of Talking About Race, Community Dialogues, and the Politics of Difference, talking about whether it does any good to sit around in a circle and talk with people of different races and ethnicities. Does that help improve race relations? It's something that a number of communities have done or are doing, and our guest says it is helpful, and we'll wonder what you think after 8 o'clock. Tomorrow at this time, by the way, we will give you a Republican perspective on the state budget that Governor Doyle says he will sign on Friday. He's going to be signing the budget at 9 o'clock. We heard from Joe Winicky, the Democratic Party chair, yesterday at this time, and tomorrow at this time we will welcome in the chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Lindsay in Westby is our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I would like to have the guest comment a little bit more about how volunteer support is coordinated at the state level, because when Katrina happened, I was very interested in heading off to volunteer and then recognized that those communities need resources to take care of their volunteers, places to sleep, food, things of that nature that may be taking valuable resources away from the people who've just gone through the disaster.
Mm-hmm. Jack Harold?
Good question. It's something that very few organizations do well. The American Red Cross does better than most, for example, of being able to utilize spontaneous volunteers in a disaster, people who weren't pre-trained and pre-certified and come in and have to be some level of training to do something. And it's difficult for most organizations to deal with a lot of folks that show up, even though there's incredible skills in the crowd. And this is an area, as your previous caller said, is tremendously untapped resource. And we don't do it very well. We don't do it as well as we could. And as I said, working with organizations, the organization that I work with that has the most open system for handling spontaneous volunteers is the Red Cross, but the Salvation Army and other organizations do also.
Thanks, Lindsay. George in Milwaukee is with us now. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm wondering how much responsibility the federal government should have to help rebuild these areas that are continuously putting themselves at risk in places where we know there's going to be a repeat of these kinds of occurrences. I saw a gentleman who was interviewed on television whose house was just burned down in California, who had the same thing happen to his house about 2 or 3 years ago. My concern is in places like New Orleans and in California, maybe places like the Outer Banks in Carolinas, places that are prone to these disasters. I don't think we should forbid necessarily people to live there, but I think we should have very limited response in terms of helping them rebuild with a public dollar.
This is also an excellent point in question, and California situation is a little unique in the sense that the fire hazard is something that is typically covered by all private insurance that you're required to have. So if a home has a mortgage, it probably has private fire insurance. So the money to rebuild will come out of the private sector predominantly for the houses you're seeing destroyed. The question should be that whether there should be restrictions on building in certain areas. And I think the insurance industry is going to take a big hit on this one, and the reinsurance industry, and there'll be pressure on the state government, but to have some restrictions. Of course, the insurance industry can always raise rates and regulate it that way. But your caller's absolutely right. Other areas, coastal flooding, the federal flood insurance program is a subsidized program, so we are actually subsidizing people to build homes in high-risk areas. And the major debate on the rebuilding of New Orleans is how many millions of dollars of taxpayers' money do we invest so that people can live in an area that is below sea level, and is it a national resource or a local resource? And 2 years after Katrina, this debate is still going on. But there really is not a national program to mitigate disasters by moving people out of or restricting or their access to hazard areas or requiring homes and floodplains to be elevated and that sort of thing. And that was. There was a movement towards that in the 1990s under James Lee Witt in FEMA, but that pretty much got lost with the emphasis on terrorism. So we're in the position where we are not only living in highly hazardous areas, but the other point that I'd add to your caller's comment, these are the fastest growing areas in the country.
Yeah. Jack Harold, back right after Katrina, even though it might have been delayed, President Bush did have a address the nation from Jackson Square and said, you know, New Orleans will be rebuilt and we're here for you. That hasn't happened, and why hasn't it happened?
For a lot of complicated reasons. We do a lot of work still in New Orleans, and it's a different world when you're down there and come back to Washington. It's pretty much off the public and political radar screen. And what we're rebuilding New Orleans into and what we're willing to invest has not been clearly delineated. Certainly the inference that we'll do what it takes to bring it back to what it was is not happening.
Yeah. Mike in Oshkosh is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. My comment's more economic than specifically natural disasters, but they dovetail together. As we look to the future, as soon as 2020, the entire federal budget's estimated to be gobbled up by entitlements and interest on the debt. It's kind of like entitlements are like a fire sucking all the oxygen and life out of government. Because of that, resources that currently go to FEMA and other agencies that help with natural disasters simply aren't going to be there. So it's a good thing that states like California, actually have a network and a training program and resources to fight natural disasters, because eventually it's simply not going to be there.
It's a good point, and we tend to forget how relatively recently the response to major disasters and catastrophic event has been viewed primarily as a federal responsibility. Up through arguably Hurricane Hugo in 1989, Hurricane Andrew in 92, Loma Prieta earthquake in 1989, the whole series of disasters starting in 1989 through Katrina, basically the result of every one was an increase in federal presence in the arena. And there are some tendencies to devolve that back to the states. The Emergency Assistance Compact, one of your earlier callers referred to, is one of them. But it's not clear that the federal government should be the source of all resources for this.
Thanks a lot, Mike. And we go now to John in Racine. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hi. My question, and you may have answered some of this while I was asking my question to the person who took my call, is the insurance companies. Why were they so quick to deny the Katrina victims when they're ready to go ahead and rebuild in California? Just to go give you a little history here. I lived in California in Imperial Beach in 1970 after I got out of the military, and I remember fires in the mountains at that time in San Diego, and ashes falling in our community in Imperial Beach, and I was only, maybe 3-4 blocks from the ocean at that time. And so these fires have been going on for many years, and these people have been rebuilding continuously. I'm just curious, why haven't the insurance companies done something to deny their rebuilding in these areas that are continuously hazardous? It seems to me that if the people are allowed to rebuild there, why can't the people rebuild and get their claims in New Orleans, in that area? Thank you.
Well, the short answer is, last time I looked, the insurance companies were still making money. Now, this may change the equation depending upon the losses. And the uninsured, they were making money with the rates they were charging for fire insurance in these fire-prone areas. The insurance companies do not give earthquake insurance, and the earthquake insurance in California is subsidized by the state, and flood insurance in New Orleans is in any place, but is if you have flood insurance, which many residents did not, was subsidized by the federal government. And most insurance companies, as you saw in some of the debate following Katrina with the wind damage versus flood damage, water damage, flood damage is not covered by most homeowners policies. The insurance companies have pulled out of that market because of the exposure. When you flood an area, you typically flood the whole area, and you're so exposed. Basically, fires have historically, even though it looks like a large area, it's still a very small area of the number of homes insured in Southern California, so that the quick answer is they're still making money doing it.
Yeah. And what is the significance of the president, at the request of Governor Schwarzenegger, issuing this major disaster declaration?
That's very significant. The disaster declaration essentially triggers all the relief and recovery authorities of the federal government under the Stafford Act and other legislation. And the government then has authority to issue individual assistance grants, provide emergency and then recovery assistance and loans. Small Business Association can provide, administration can provide small business loans. So it frees up the money channel, basically. Mm-hmm. It turns on the check writing machine.
And finally, Larry in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. Michael Dyson, in his book about Katrina, said that President Bush privatized FEMA, and in other sources that privatization has been described. One description of it is regarding the so-called evacuation plan for New Orleans that was to have been prepared by a private contractor that the Bush administration gave a contract to prepare that plan. But yeah. Even a year after the hurricane, there was, nobody had ever seen the plan, and yeah. It turned out that corporation is a contributor to Republicans or the
right.
Republican Party.
I'm not sure you're going to be able to address all of that, Larry. We only have less than a minute. Jack Harold, we're kind of ending where we started in terms of whether we, on FEMA.
And disasters are a political event, and certainly there's a lot of money involved in preparing for and planning for catastrophic disasters. And your caller's correct. There is an awful lot of contracting, and not just in FEMA, but the whole Department of Homeland Security. It has been a leaning very heavily on private sector contractors to do, which historically have been operational functions within agencies themselves. And that's had some good benefits and some, as your caller points out, not so good.
Thank you so much for being with us and talking with our callers.
Thank you.
Jack Harold, Director of the Institute for Crisis, Disaster, and Risk Management at George Washington University. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing the program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.